phasers for stun and prepare for warp speed. It's time for the We Got the Geeks movie talk.
It's the end. The end of the path I started us on.
Nothing lasts forever.
There are no strings on me.
We Got the Geek is recorded before a live studio audience.
All right, this is Jay Stu, and I'm on location here with our great friend, Agent Daryl.
Good afternoon.
Good to have you back.
Thank you very much.
He's been on a couple times before talking Marvel movies. We decided maybe this will be a semi-regular feature now. Maybe complete with Diana in, intro and everything.
Yeah, sure. If she wanted to record something special, that'd be really cool, yeah.
So, first of all, thank you for doing the weekly reviews for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. People seem to really be digging it.
This is the first time I've had a chance to talk to you, yeah, since I started, since I picked up the gig. And thanks for giving me the gig, actually.
Oh, thanks for doing it, man.
It gives me a chance to analyze the episodes in depth each week, which I do anyway. And now I can organize my thoughts, put them out there, and share them with the world.
And welcome to the team, sir.
Thank you very much. Yeah, glad, proud to be geek.
Nice. So we're here at your underground bat cave, for lack of a better term.
Dr. Daryl's Sanctum Sanctorum.
Oh, there you go.
That's how I think of it. Actually, the name of our house, I've actually got a name for the house. La Maison de Ville is our loving, I suppose, nom de guerre here at the house. Yeah.
Well, it's very cool.
Thank you. Yes, and our own little haunted house here.
So we have a lot to talk about. Lots happened in the Marvel world since we last sat down at Tim Hortons and listened to people breaking dishes.
It's so long ago. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was like being at a Greek wedding.
Yeah.
Opa.
Yeah. So earlier, before we start recording, you actually showed me the video conference from a few weeks back of the big, huge Marvel movie announcement.
Yeah, it was October 29th at the El Capitan Theater in Los Angeles on Hollywood Boulevard, actually. Yeah, Nikki and I actually, we visited Hollywood on our honeymoon, so
oh,
we know
cool.
The area very well. It's like right across the street from the Chinese Theater.
Oh, nice.
Which, contrary to Iron Man 3, has not been completely destroyed due to an extremis explosion.
Oh, wow. So we found out there's going to be some returning favorites in the movies. We also found out there's going to be some movies with newer characters that haven't been on screen before.
Well, yeah, as Marvel had promised, I guess, over the last couple of years. And I guess Kevin Feige had said that going forward, there would be an established franchise and a new franchise introduced every year, at least one of each every year. And with the announcement, I guess we know it's going to be a lot more than that. It's, it looks like the regular thing, and this was another announcement from, I guess, a couple months ago, was they were deciding whether or not there was going to be more than just two movies per year, if they could handle doing three-plus movies per year. And I guess they've decided they can. I would say the box office receipts of both Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Guardians of the Galaxy this year have proved that if Marvel puts it out there, people are going to go and pay to see it. So let's get it out there.
Yeah, definitely. Guardians is the number one movie so far this year within the United States
has
and
it,
Canada.
Has it pushed out? I think Transformers 4 was the number one there for internationally.
Yeah, internationally, yeah. Yeah.
It's still a big movie, and I don't know why, really, but I guess people are Transformers fans. Me, I'm a Marvel zombie through and through. I like my Transformers, don't get me wrong.
All right.
I haven't seen one of the movies since the second one, I think, though.
Me too.
Yeah. So, since Megan Fox is in them, basically.
Actually, no, I lied. We had a guest on, and because he was coming on, I reviewed Transformers 3.
Okay, so you've seen, what was that, Darker Moon?
I guess so. I don't remember. I was 2 hours, I'm not getting back.
Oh, okay, that bad, huh?
Yeah.
I hadn't seen the third one or the fourth one, but I'll get around to them one of these days. I haven't seen the second G.I. Joe movie either.
Oh, me neither. Yeah. Me neither. Oh, well.
Get around to it. Make a marathon of it. A Hasbro.
A Hasbro
There's
marathon.
There's a Gem movie coming out next year.
I'm
actually kind of excited about that.
Oh, yeah?
Because Gem. Nobody's talking
and
about
the holograms.
Gem. And the holograms. 20 years, 25 years at least. So.
Nice.
It'd be interesting to see what they do with that in the modern age.
Who knows?
But getting back to the Marvel announcement, yeah, so lots of old, lots of new. I don't know. I guess maybe we should just do it. Well, we watched the announcement.
Yeah.
And maybe we should just go through it beat by beat exactly as they do.
Yeah, that's cool.
It started off with the Avengers, well, the teaser for Avengers Age of Ultron.
Well, let's talk about that for a sec, because I haven't seen you since that came out.
Well, and of course, before the week before the announcement, of course, Hydra went and cracked Marvel's files there and released it to the public.
Yeah.
The day after it was announced on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Next week, stay tuned for an exclusive Age of Ultron trailer. And then, like, 12 hours later, it was on the internet.
Now, I was at my day job, and I was outside on my break, and I was on Facebook, and all sorts of people were talking about the new Avengers trailer. And I wasn't able to watch it at work. I don't have a really good phone. A friend of mine who works there and his wife, who I'm friends with, Steph from the GCE, they see me standing over there like, "Hey, Jay, the new Avengers trailer came out today." "Yeah, I got to wait 2 hours till my shift's over to go and watch it." "Oh, got 2 minutes? Come over to the car and watch it now."
That's
so,
all right. Yeah, exactly.
Standing in the parking lot, mouth wide open, almost drooling. Creeped out by the Pinocchio music.
The No Strings on Me music. That was just inspired. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Just completely, I mean, just beautiful. I mean, taking the Disney property, you know, since it's all Disney owned now, and taking other Disney properties, things like the music, and being able to mix it into the movie. They're very, very brilliant bit of synergy. Ultron, how great, huh?
It's hell. Creepy trailer. they don't show too much. They don't give a lot away, which is good.
It's a sizzle reel, basically. Yeah. You know, it's the highlights of all the things that you're hoping to see. The Hulkbuster armor, I think, was the one that really had my jaw on the floor.
Yes.
Finally, the payoff after the we thought we'd seen Hulkbuster in Iron Man 3, but it just turned out to be Igor. And, of course, then they were like, "No, it's not Hulkbuster. It's not Hulkbuster. That's Igor." And, of course, now we've got the true Hulkbuster. And, of course, compared to Igor, he's twice as tall, twice as wide.
And looks badass.
And can go toe-to-toe with the Hulk. And that's no mean feat right there. That was the big thing, I guess, was the Hulkbuster armor for me. Yeah. Ultron himself, especially right there at the end.
Yeah.
That No Strings on Me sequence.
And
there,
Hulk must do something terrible, because there's the one scene with Bruce Banner sitting on the floor and everyone just standing looking away from him.
He's, exactly. Still kind of a bit green in the face. He's obviously just come down from the rage.
Yeah.
And, that's something that we've never actually seen, because usually, you know, and throughout history, really, with Hulk, it's always been, you know, he Hulks out, he turns into the Hulk, he fights, he wanders off into the woods, and then he wakes up with his stretchy pants
on. Cool, purple
and that's
pants.
About it. And that's always been the way that he's always been portrayed, is just, you know, he does his thing. You never really see him come back down from the Hulk out, and maybe we'll see it. Maybe we'll see him actually melt back into the human proportions. Maybe that's what that is. Or, maybe the Hulk really had it handed to him there.
Yeah.
Question is that from the Hulkbuster armor, or is that from something else? Without knowing really what's the movie's.
Yeah.
We know Strucker's going to be in it, and that's going to be mostly the beginning. Obviously, that introduces Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. We know that they're in his care, his not-so-tender care, at the end of Cap 2.
Well, they were the Miracles.
The Miracles, yes, the twins. Let's see. The Hulkbuster armor. Got Ultron. Vision and Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Not Vision, sorry. Vision,
Vision's
actually.
In it.
Conspicuously absent is Vision, actually. Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch in the video.
Cap's broken shield.
Cap's broken shield at the end. Well, that was teased at San Diego Comic-Con this year. Didn't know if that was going to be a literal broken shield in the actual movie, or if it was just going to be sort of a figurative statement because of the state of the organization shield. But apparently now the one reflects the other, because it looks like at the end, Cap's shield is busted up.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get to see his energy shield.
That's right. I forgot about that.
He had that, I think, as of the mid to late 90s there. He had his little doohickey on his gauntlet where you just press a button and you'd have like a little energy shield.
I remember that.
So it'd be cool to see some alternate shields. We've seen the triangular one, of course, the classic from the first Cap movie. And I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if with the broken shield in Avengers Age of Ultron, we saw the the energy shield in the third movie, sort of making it three different shields for each movie, kind of a different shield for a different Cap movie each time.
Actually, it escapes my mind. Did he get his shield back at the end of Winter Soldier?
That's a good question.
I don't remember.
He went into the water. I would expect it to be easy enough to pick up. That's just the Potomac River. Good question, yeah. How would you go about retrieving that? I guess he does obviously have it.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't get it back. Maybe the shield that we see broken in Avengers Age of Ultron is because it's a fake.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it's a fake on purpose. I had mentioned to you my observations. I had recently rewatched Captain America First Avenger. And thinking about the motivations of Howard Stark after he had retrieved the Tesseract from the ocean, he then continued looking for Cap. And I kind of thought about it, like, what if Howard Stark's not the great guy everybody thinks he is? What if he is maybe even a Hydra sleeper of some sort, or maybe just not a great guy on his own, you know, regardless of who he's affiliated with? What if he wasn't looking for Cap? What if he was just looking for Cap's shield? He had introduced that vibranium shield to Cap. Didn't exactly give it to him. Cap just kind of took it.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch the movie, you know, he never just said, "Hey, take it." You know, me shield a two shield. he just kind of said, "No, I like this," and he kind of took it. And Howard Stark didn't really want him to have it, so I think it was kind of entrusted to him, but I don't think it was really given to him.
Not really, no.
So it might have been a case of Stark Sr. trying to get the shield back more so than actually trying to recover Cap's body, or Cap in any respect. He had probably fully expected Steve Rogers was dead and was just trying to get back this very valuable element. Which, with the announcements that have come, will become very, very important if you know anything about vibranium and its origins.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly where it's found in the African nation of Wakanda. So, yeah, there's that. And, of course, it probably factors in very much into Ultron's composition himself, it being such a rare and valuable and powerful metal. With unique properties, I wouldn't be surprised that that's why we see the broken shields, because Ultron is actually using it to fortify himself. And of course, there's also that scene in the trailer where we see many Ultrons, drones of some sort. There's the early, I guess, Avengers model drones that we see him crush the head of at the beginning, and I guess we'll find out that Tony Stark has an Iron Army, basically. And these are these drones, much like Whiplash's drones in Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
Sort of a callback to that. He said drones were better. And maybe Iron Man is thinking along the same lines now. There has been these times when he's thought of himself as a nuclear deterrent, and then he's talked down about nuclear deterrence after he's found out that it's not really the way to go. And so he experiments with all these different sort of defense tactics, I suppose. And, I wouldn't be surprised if those drones has something to do with getting the shield and using it for Ultron's benefit because of the unique properties of that metal. So we've got all that. A lot going on in that trailer.
Oh, jeez. Like I was saying to you earlier, can it please be May now?
Yeah, no kidding. Now, aside from the trailer that was leaked and then was shown during the Marvel announcement, that same day at the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there was, and we just actually reviewed that before we started recording, was the extended sneak peek of the Avengers Tower party scene.
Oh, how great was that?
Where they're just sort of schmoozing and hanging out there. That was pretty cool. The introduction of Ultron, basically, which leads into the teaser trailer. And that's a nice little scene, too, where they're trying to lift the hammer.
Yeah.
That's just priceless. I've read about that particular scene in one form or another. Going back months, it was an early scene that's been in the draft from the beginning, basically, and it's been talked about quite a bit on the internet. Nice to finally see it, to put a face to it, really, and see that, Tony, and I like his, if I can lift it, do I get to rule Asgard? And he says, I'll be cruel but fair, or something along those lines, and I think that speaks, actually, of Tony Stark's mentality and his approach to things is that he would be cruel and fair. Well, in his mind, I suppose. Yeah.
And we found out obviously Rhodey's in the movie too.
Rhodey's got a part at least trying to move the hammer.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's there for more than just that, but who can say for sure really? Let's see, who else? Cap, of course, takes his hand at the hammer, and we do see him give it a little budge there, much to Thor's surprise and I think a little bit of concern. Yeah. Like somebody's nipping at his heels for the worthiness of Mjolnir. So he was the only one who, I think, really noticed the fact that it did move ever so slightly, maybe a quarter of an inch. But in human terms, to Asgardian terms, that's probably still significant. Significant enough that Thor noticed. Nobody else did, though. Very cool. Widow declined, of course, to pick it up. It seems to be more of a guy thing than a lady thing. And I think that's what she's pointing out. And who knows about Maria Hill, but more on her later. I've got some thoughts about her.
Why don't we take a break?
All right.
And we'll come back. We'll get right into the announcements. I know you've got some notes here. And
yeah, so we've just covered the Age of Ultron teaser, and I think after that they did a recap on the rest of Phase 2, Guardians of the Galaxy, Age of Ultron, and Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And then there was the full Phase 3 announcement, which we'll get into greater detail in just a moment.
All right, we'll take a break and come right back after this commercial message.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
A new spin on the traditional comic book store. Pulp Comics is the place to buy all your new comics, graphic novels, toys, and collectibles. Located at 4559 Queen Street in Niagara Falls, we have over 20,000 back issues, Wi-Fi, arcade, posters, DVDs, MTG, RPG games, board games, complete with 1,400 square feet of gaming tables and vintage arcade downstairs. Pulp Comics cares about you and your comic buying experience. That's why all of our comics are bagged and boarded. Whether you're a pull list subscriber or just shop off the rack. Table rentals are now $5 for a full session of tabletop goodness. Bring your own game or play any of the available house games. Cards, dice, pawns, and pencils, everything you need for an evening of competitive social interaction, schemes and intrigue, luck, both good and bad included, and an awful lot of fun. At Pulp Comics, we have the fiction for your affliction.
All right, welcome back. It's Jay Stu. I'm here once again with our good friend Daryl, Agent Daryl.
Agent Daryl, hey, Dr. Daryl.
Dr. Daryl. And
especially going into this next segment here.
Man.
Some stuff I'm interested in talking about.
We love talking Marvel movies with you, sir. So
it is my passion.
So as we mentioned earlier, they had a huge announcement a few weeks back. And
almost a month now.
Almost a month, yeah. So we're going to go over all the announcements. And what do you got for us first here, Daryl?
It was a huge announcement. 9 movies in total, I think, but we'll just go through them one by one.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
First up is Cap 3, obviously, with Captain America 2 doing as well as it did this year. I think I had exceeded everybody's expectations.
Oh, yeah.
As far as not just box office draw, but storytelling. It was everything I expected it to be, of course. Captain America, the first movie, I know a lot of people weren't as happy with that one, especially after movies like Iron Man and Thor, where they go to these crazy technological advances and ancient civilizations.
I liked it, but I really liked Winter Soldier.
Yeah. First Avenger, I mean, it's a setup movie, and it had to be. I think it was done right the way that it was. I mean, they established everything in the modern universe up to a point, and then we had a callback to the 40s. It worked out a lot better than if they had started with something like Cap. I don't think they would have been able to build up the momentum.
I read a rumor somewhere where originally Captain America First Avenger wasn't even going to be set in World War II.
Oh, really? Like they were going to do like something like further up the
something
line,
modern,
Vietnam
yeah.
or something?
I'm not sure, but
I mean, obviously you would have to have the Man Out of Time thing, and I don't think you can do anything other than World War II for Captain America.
Exactly.
He's an iconic World War II hero. He was first introduced then. Mm. He's always been. He was placed into suspended animation when he fell into the ice, and it's always been the story, at least from the 60s onwards. It's an important part of the character. I don't think you could change that. But you had to get that story. You had to get the wartime story out of the way. I think a lot of people weren't that crazy about it. I loved it myself. I love the old Atlas era and Timely era comics. All-Winter Squad, Invaders, the Roy Thomas written series from the 70s, which took place in World War II, featuring Captain America, Bucky, Human Torch and Toro, Submariner, Union Jack and Spitfire, all those all those great, and you know, even all the other
The Wizard,
Miss America, The Destroyer. There was a whole mess of World War II era heroes, Mystery Men, that that came and went throughout the Invaders. But the core group, much like the Avengers, and they were kind of like the Avengers of the day, really. There was the big three, like the Avengers with Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor. Back then, it was Submariner, Human Torch, and Captain America.
Yeah.
So he was sort of the bridging. And it's a shame that they didn't go in greater detail with Invaders back then. But there's always the possibility that those stories could be told. There was a montage scene where you sort of got like the highlight reel of Cap's adventures in World War II. Lots of stuff that you could fill in between there in the blanks. Time with Bucky, if there were other heroes that they'd worked alongside at any point, I'm sure those stories could be told. Agent Carter's coming up, we know that. And of course, even in flashback scenes this season with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we've seen Dum-Dum Doo
and
the Howling Commandos, and so happy to see that.
That was great.
Actually, I know you haven't seen the latest issue, the latest episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but Agent Carter does make another appearance in that, too. So
nice.
Look forward to that when you do get the chance to see it. And, of course, this is all building up to Agent Carter starting, what, I guess, a month and a half from now.
Yeah.
Wow, it's so soon.
I know, right?
It's really just chugging along here. But, yeah, so the first movie that was announced for Phase 3 was Captain America 3, directed by the Russo brothers. And it was interesting, and perhaps just for the moment anyway, we'll just say that originally announced to be Captain America Serpent Society was the title. That was, of course, anybody who's been paying attention knows that that was eventually changed to Captain America Civil War. By the end of the announcement, they had made that change. And we'll probably get into greater detail with that as we go along.
Yeah.
That was sort of almost the last thing that they did before they finished up. But to begin with, they started with Cap Serpent Society.
Yeah.
Captain America Serpent Society. This is the this is the first Phase 3 movie, the first one after Ant-Man on May 6, 2016. Russo brothers back to direct because they did a fantastic job with Winter Soldier. Clearly, they know how to tell a modern-day Captain America story.
Definitely.
A compelling story. you know, the Falcon, Crossbones, all that stuff. There's actually been some casting news even since then. In the weeks since the announcement, there's been some casting news. I can't remember the fellow's name that they've cast for Captain America 3. He's going to be one of the villains. The name escapes me right now. I wish I'd written it down. There's been some speculation he's going to be Baron Zemo. Sure. Okay, I'm definitely okay with that.
Yeah,
hopefully that leads to a Thunderbolts movie at some point in the future. And apparently Crossbones is going to be the major villain. So
Yeah. Hopefully
that will also usher in a return of the Red Skull before the end of Captain America, before the end of Cap 3. So Captain America's Serpent Society, and that's what's been said so far, but the name Serpent Society, it sort of suggests that there will be snake-themed villains in the movie. And if you go back to the comics, I don't know if you ever read any of Mark Gruenwald's Serpent Society
issues.
Basically, the 300s, I think, is when most of that stuff took place. Captain America, around 300 and, I think it was 311, till about 400 or so. Lot of snake villains. Of course, some of the earliest snake villains in Captain America comics go back to the 70s with Cobra, Eel, and the Viper.
Right.
The original Viper, who was a male character, before the character known as Madame Hydra killed him off and took his name, the Viper, and then became the Viper. And, of course, if you've been following the track of the Viper since then, she made her movie debut in the Wolverine movie from last year. Sort of a different character, a mutant in that one,
Yeah. And
no connections to Hydra at all. The character has sort of gone back and forth between Madame Hydra and Viper down through the decades since Jim Steranko first introduced her back in, I think, Cap 110 back in the late 60s. So, two different characters from the Viper. The Viper is one character, and I think it's safe to say that Madame Hydra is a different character. I had theorized whether or not they would pull a Quicksilver and see if they could bring a Madame Hydra into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I have a feeling that we'll see that, actually, at some point. The title Serpent Society sort of suggests that. I don't think we're going to see a villain by the name of the Viper. She might be referred to as a Viper, but I don't think it'll be a properly titled Viper. She'll probably go by Madame Hydra. I can imagine that the phrase Viper in our midst being thrown about or something like that.
Yeah.
Kind of like when Iron Man was talking to Rhodey in Iron Man 2. He said, you want to be the War Machine? Fine. You know, he was never actually technically called War Machine, although eventually that sort of the name sort of stuck.
Yeah.
It was just sort of like an off-the-cuff line at first. And then they do a lot of that with these with a lot of these characters. You know, either they don't have a proper name or they just sort of refer to it sort of like a nod and a wink to the fans. So they're like, oh, there he is. You know, that way you know which character is who, you know. Ironically, there was a machete with Batroc in the beginning of Captain America Winter Soldier. He wasn't really named specifically, but yeah, he was one of Batroc's brigade. And I thought they were really well done in Captain America Winter Soldier, as opposed to how they're sort of these camp villains, sort of these goofy, schlocky villains in the comic books. So the fact that they were able to really update them and make them compelling villains, even just even if they are just sort of low-level kickboxing, you know, I mean, it got to really show off some of the fighting chops for Cap early on. It was a nice, and that's Batroc. He's a master of French kickboxing, so he would be a challenging fight. But yeah, Serpent Society, as the title goes, before it was renamed, there was tons of serpent characters in the end, though. I mean, there was literally an entire society. It actually became sort of like an almost like a union of supervillains, where they would look out for one another, and they had each other's backs. They would use their powers. It was almost like an anti-Avengers. It was very snake-themed, a little cheesy, perhaps. But some of the best villains have come out of that. I don't think Constrictor was ever a fully fledged member of the Serpent Society, but he is an interesting character because he was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, actually, and factored into quite a few S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes, issues of Captain America and S.H.I.E.L.D. and things like that. So it'd be cool to see, you know, see what kind of snake villains might appear.
Yeah.
Diamondback is probably one of the best known because of her relationship with Captain America.
That's
and again,
right.
Here we've got, just like there's three different S.H.I.E.L.D.s that you can have for each of the Cap movies, he's had a different woman or a different female love interest in each. It was Peggy, of course, in the first movie. They never really got around to it. I guess there was a lot of action going on, but of course there was the hints towards Agent 13. Obviously, Emily Van Camp, she was got a pretty high profile billing there on the movie, even though I was kind of disappointed. There wasn't enough of her, I found. For Agent 13, Sharon Carter, I think there could have been a lot more. And of course, they didn't even reveal her last name in the movie. Just her first name is Sharon, of course. The fact that she is related to Peggy Carter has still not been revealed, at least in the movie universe. So it's possible that there could be a third lady love in Steve's future in the third movie. And it, with a movie title like Serpent Society, it makes one think it could be Diamondback. Even though his love interests have gone pretty much, it was Peggy and then Sharon. There was, in the late 70s, early 80s, Bernie Rosenthal.
That's right.
His Brooklyn neighbor.
I remember that.
Which I think they kind of incorporated Agent 13 a little bit there as being the neighbor in the same apartment building. So sort of getting that same thing, even though she was just a sort of a handler, someone who was watching over him, assigned by Fury to keep an eye on Cap, the girl next door.
Yeah.
And that's Fury for you. He's been sort of pulling Cap strings from the very beginning, you know. Like I've said before, he kind of throws him a softball every now and then, helps him keep him involved in the conversation sometimes when he feels a bit out of time and out of place and doesn't understand the references. So, you know, Fury will be the one who makes a Wizard of Oz reference so that he can feel included and understand what's going on, even though everybody else is like flying monkeys.
Yeah, I get that reference.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so there have been these times when Nick Fury has definitely sort of sheltered Cap from the modern world by installing him in this facility here in Brooklyn. And it makes me wonder about that. Actually, there's a lot of things about the interior of Cap's apartment that remind me of the S.H.I.E.L.D. base in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now, the playground. They actually kind of similar. I mean, like, is Cap's apartment just another secret S.H.I.E.L.D. facility? Because, I mean, we already know that Agent 13 is there, keeping watch over him. Who knows what this building is connected to? There could be all sorts of cool stuff in there. We might find out in a future movie. There's all sorts of possibilities. I love the fact that we got to see the barber chair in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last season, which is a famous S.H.I.E.L.D. gag. And I was waiting all season for it when I finally did. And it was in Cuba, too, which Nick Fury used to go down to Cuba quite a bit back in the comics and everything. He used to hang out quite a bit down there. I guess because it was one of those places that was sort of off limits to Americans from the 60s onwards.
Yeah.
So naturally, that's where Nick Fury would be. The one place everybody else is not supposed to be.
Yeah.
Cap 3. After Cap 3, directed by the Russo brothers, this is the one that I've been waiting forever for. Kevin Feige's been talking forever for it, forever about it, and that's Doctor Strange.
Yeah, they teased him a little bit in Winter Soldier.
Finally got his name dropped. Yeah, Jasper Sitwell dropped his name quite to somebody not paying attention. They'd be like, who's this guy? I mean, he was mentioned amongst Bruce Banner. And a bunch of basically, you know, a kid in Iowa, SAT scores. Basically, it was just kind of thrown in there as just like a random name. But of course, if you know what you're, if you're paying attention, if you know what you're looking for, you know that Stephen Strange is, of course, Doctor Strange, Master of the Mystic Arts, Sorcerer Supreme, resident of Greenwich Village in New York, and well, hopefully they'll maintain that in the movie universe. I've heard some different stories about what this movie is going to cover. Being directed by Scott Derrickson, who is very—he's actually—he's got a good a body of work, I suppose you would say, in horror movies. I think he did Sinister with Ethan Hawke.
Okay.
So he was actually in consideration for the role. Of course, we've heard all kinds of names for a Doctor Strange casting. The latest being Benedict Cumberbatch.
What did you think of that casting?
Now, apparently this isn't even still 100%.
Really?
I actually just saw a red carpet thing with Benedict Cumberbatch just the other day, and he's kind of downplaying it now. He's saying, check your notes to this guy. This one
really?
Guy
okay.
Because this guy was trying to say, you're Doctor Strange. And he's like, nope, check your notes. That's not the case.
Okay.
So perhaps it's not finalized. Maybe he just wasn't allowed to say absolutely confirmed 100% yes yet.
All right.
And maybe he just hasn't signed on the dotted line. But it sounded like it was, for all intents and purposes, a done deal. I like him as a distinguished individual who's an arrogant surgeon turned master of the mystic arts. I think he would be a perfect casting choice. Better than somebody like Johnny Depp.
Oh, I didn't like that one.
Might have been just a little bit too, I don't know, it's a little too household name-y for me.
They were
Johnny Depp would bring too much Johnny Depp to the character and not enough Doctor Strange.
Yeah, they were throwing Ewan McGregor around for a bit there, too.
Now, don't get me wrong, I like Johnny Depp. And in fact, when I watch a movie like Ninth Gate, I think, hey, here's a story that is almost like maybe one of the more globe-trotting occult investigating type Doctor Strange stories, not going from dimension to dimension, battling supernatural villains, that sort of thing. It was almost like a Midnight Suns type story, Ninth Gate, where he's tracking down this grimoire. It kind of fits with the personality of Doctor Strange.
And okay.
So when I heard his name as a casting choice, that was one of the movies that I kind of looked back on. I was like, if he could get back to that, and that's almost 15 years ago as well, Ninth Gate. So if he could get back to that and sort of portray that, that'd be great. But I think he's too big a name at this day and age.
Yeah, for sure.
He'd want too much money. His schedule, too. I mean, for the amount of movies that Marvel would require somebody to sign on for, I don't know if Johnny Depp would be willing to do that. He's usually got his fingers in a lot of pies.
Yeah, I see him everywhere.
There likely isn't going to be a Lone Ranger movie sequel anytime soon, but who knows when Disney might decide to churn out another Pirates movie. And, you know, Tim Burton's got to have Johnny Depp in every one of his movies. So.
Definitely.
So he's probably pretty busy and probably couldn't do it anyway. Joaquin Phoenix was another one that was...
Yeah,
that one almost sounded like it was a done deal, and then he backed out. Apparently because, from what I've read, he wasn't comfortable with, some of the CGI acting that he would be...
Oh, okay.
Or green screen acting. He wouldn't be comfortable doing something like that. Which I guess, you know, it does take a certain type of acting skill to be able to pull off convincingly acting in a way where there's nothing around you except, you know, four green walls and your imagination. So I can understand why, you know, it'd be a bit daunting if it's not something that you're not comfortable with. And, you know, Joaquin Phoenix, it's kind of a shame. I would have liked to have seen him in that. But he could be saving himself for other movie projects. In fact, from what I've heard, there could be some interesting roles for him down the line. Something entirely un-Marvel-like, but could be just as grand in scope. Who knows?
Yeah.
But
well, hold the thought. We got lots more announcements to cover.
So that just covers 2016.
Yeah. There's another 4 years to go.
Exactly.
All right. We'll be right back with more with Daryl and the Marvel movies and all sorts of cool stuff. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned, loyal listeners. There's more We Got the Geek still to come.
Face front, true believers. John Ballmer is an independent artist and illustrator. He has contributed to several indie comics published by Alterna Comics and more, and is able to draw in many styles and genres. John also does commission work in sizes ranging from 3 by 5 inches to 11 by 17 inches and even larger. Add some original art to your personal collection or surprise someone with a drawing just for them. Check out his work at drawnbyjohn.com and his Facebook group, Drawn by John, The Art of John J.C. Ballmer.
All right, welcome back. I'm here with Agent Daryl. We're talking Marvel movies once again. We just got through 2016. So we're up to 2017 now. By the way, remember the old days where we'd maybe be talking about a movie like a year away? Now we're talking movies 5 years in the future.
No kidding. Yeah, exactly. I mean, even 10 years ago, with movies like, you know, like Lord of the Rings, as they came out, I would be pretty excited about them. And, you know, you'd know that they were coming out as a trilogy, obviously, because that's how Peter Jackson had filmed them. But even then, you know, details about what was going to be, I mean, you didn't have that information so far in advance. Marvel, of course, is doing this announcement, just laying down a huge amount of information all at once. But of course, they've been drawing us out for a long time too.
For
fans who are always hungry to find out more, and of course, they tease us with every movie with after credit scenes and one shots, and you know, now what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shows between ABC and Netflix.
Yeah,
and probably more on the way too. To say nothing of cartoons. There's the new Guardians of the Galaxy animation that's coming out, an actual cartoon series, which is pretty cool. I would have been happy with just a Rocket and Groot cartoon myself, but if you want to throw all five of them into there, that's cool.
They've got the Spider-Man one now where Clark Gregg actually voices Coulson on.
Yes, he does. He does his own Coulson voice work for all the shows. Yeah, I think on Ultimate Spider-Man, I don't know if he's shown up in Avengers Assemble. I've only seen a couple of issues.
I'm not sure about that one, but definitely he's posing as a principal on Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Principal Coulson.
Nice. I was just watching, actually just last week, I was watching Hulk and Agents of Smash.
Okay.
Not my favorite cartoon, but these two, there were two actually episodes back-to-back last week that were great. One of them had Guardians of the Galaxy with the core group, the five of them, Drax, Star-Lord, Gamora, and Rocket and Groot. And then the next episode right after that was a Deathlok episode.
Oh, okay.
That was really cool.
Cool.
Very, very timely considering how last season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wrapped up. Deathlok's just started his own. There's a monthly series actually just started. I actually picked up the complete collection of Deathlok the Destroyer, all the 70s and 80s issues. So
cool.
I finally have them all. I used to only have the Captain America issues, which is like the last three episodes of the entire storyline, I suppose. And I never got any of the original, I think it was Astonishing Tales issues.
Hey, speaking of comics, I was listening back to our last show and it actually made me go back and read Secret Wars for the first time in years.
There you go, especially with the big news of the new Secret Wars coming out.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's going to be an important read.
Some of it's a little dated, but it was still a good read.
Hence the update for sure, but very important stuff came out of that series. Black Suit Spider-Man, of course.
Oh, for sure.
Probably the most important thing to come out of that. The Beyonder, probably the epitome of the 80s cosmic films.
Yeah.
If not the epitome of 80s itself.
Yeah. Oh,
his Michael Jackson hair and his...
Oh, let's not talk Secret Wars 2. That didn't happen.
Oh, Secret Wars 2. Yeah, that's right. That was the Michael Jackson hair and the white leisure suit and everything. And yet, I know that series a little better than I do the original Secret
Wars. Oh, really?
Because that was when I was really getting into comics. And, of course, I bought anything with the little Secret Wars 2 crossover.
Yeah, me too. Me too. He made Daredevil C. I remember that.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. That was one that I missed. I definitely remember him taking his physical form from Captain America.
Yep.
Because he fought the Armadillo.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. That was at the West Coast Avengers compound. That was just before that series had started. with the Silver Centurion Iron Man armor and Hawkeye leading and everything. Tigra. Who else was on that team?
Wonder Man.
Mockingbird, of course. Wonder Man, yes. Because the first major storyline of the regular series, West Coast Avengers, was Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
I think there was some Ultron in there. Because it all had to do with Vision, Scarlet Witch, Wonder Man, which is probably going to be a major... I would expect if Vision is coming along, Scarlet Witch...
Maybe
I
Wonder
think eventually
Man.
We will see Wonder Man. He is an important Avengers character, and if you're going to start introducing people like Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, I understand as being an important part of the Avengers.
Yeah.
Why it was done in X-Men, I think it was just to sort of, because they had the rights to use those characters. The names were on a computer screen. I think it was X-Men 2.
Yeah.
Where there was a whole bunch of familiar mutants, all the new mutants, all the X-Force, and the Maximoff twins as well.
And Franklin Richards.
Was he in there too?
Yeah, he was.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why. Oh, okay. Well, they do say that Fantastic Four will be a shared universe with the X-Men, whether or not Franklin... I never noticed that. I had to check back.
Yeah. Oh,
Franklin Richards is in there too. Son of a genius. but yeah, but they were definitely in there, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. So I guess because of that very tiny Easter egg inclusion years ago, I don't know if maybe that's why they were able to hold on to those movie rights. But of course, we all know that, you know, they'll play up the Magneto relation angle, whereas Avengers will play up the well, the Avengers membership and. The angle that most of the stories I find with Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are Avengers related.
Oh, yeah. They're
part of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, but so long ago and so briefly, and yes, they're related to Magneto, and so they are always constantly being tied back into the X-Men universe, but let's face it, from what, Avengers 16 onwards, Cap's Kooky Quartet, yep. They've been Avengers and they've always been.
Right, with Hawkeye.
Exactly, yeah. Who was also a villain when he was first introduced. So that sort of jibes with his portrayal at the in the beginning of Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Black Widow was also a villain and a super spy. You never really knew what side she was on, and I think that still holds to this day. She's an Avenger, but is she a good guy?
Mm-hmm.
She certainly acted the part in Winter Soldier, but
yeah,
like I mentioned to you before we started recording, there were little tells. There were little, like, even just like little flutters of her eyes at certain points when Cap would say something about Fury. You could see her sort of switching tracks to not blow her cover, because I have a feeling that she's deep cover Hydra, and that's going to be revealed later on. She's not... She's not, or maybe she's not necessarily all bad, all good. She's many shades of gray. I have a feeling that Captain America is, whether knowingly or unknowingly, through his influence, redeeming, helping her to redeem herself. She got red in her ledger, and this is how she's wiping it out. And, you know, following alongside Cap and Winter Soldier, I think, is a good way to find that redemption. I have a feeling that the big scene at the end there with the World Security Council... basically came down to her making a choice whether or not she was going to go with Alexander Pierce or whether she was going to go with Cap. And I think it could have gone either way. And she decided to go with Cap. And I think that speaks a lot to where she's going to end up being, but it also says a lot about where she's come from, which is still very much cloaked in mystery. And without a Black Widow movie itself, which a lot of people I know are disappointed because that wasn't announced.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling she's going to figure prominently in a lot of the movies leading up to Avengers 3. 3.4 or 3.5, 3 and 4, Infinity War. We know all about that.
Yeah.
But getting on to the next one there, definitely though, after all this, we haven't even gotten into the next announcement.
Yeah, 2017 we're up to.
So, yeah, for 2017. So the last one was November 4th, 2016. Doctor Strange, directed by Scott Derrickson. James Gunn, during the announcement, they had a little teleconference thing there where he came up on the screen. He was in Japan at the time. And he announced Guardians... Well, of course, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was announced, I think, about a week before the movie came out. They were very confident going in that this was going to be a lot of the early buzz about the movie, I think, pretty much told them that this was going to be a slam dunk. Hey, I've been extolling the virtues of Guardians of the Galaxy since the movie was first announced. You know, I'm a big fan of the original... not just the original Guardians from back in the 60s through the 90s, but... the actual original comic series that the movie version was based on, the Dan Abnett, Andy Lanning version from 2008. Great, series of comics.
Yeah, I still have to read those, actually.
Really takes some of the best aspects of all of the 70s cosmic Marvel, which were really great, groundbreaking stories. Jim Starlin did some amazing things with storytelling, right up to this day, actually. His original graphic novel series. They just announced another one, and I'm looking forward to it next summer. The Infinity Relativity.
Oh, okay.
It's his next graphic novel. Thanos, of course, and Adam Warlock, which I'm always down for. I know you and some other people don't like Adam Warlock. I was reading, listening to one of the podcasts a couple weeks ago. You don't think much of Adam Warlock, but for me, he's one of my favorites.
I don't know too much about him. I'll put it that out there.
Yeah, I see him as the opposite coin, the opposite, the flip side, the opposite number to Thanos, really. So much more so than Drax, which I think was what Drax was originally intended to be in the earliest appearances. And Drax has continued to be throughout, and definitely that was played up in the rebooted version in the late 2000s there. But Adam Warlock, throughout Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity War, Infinity Crusade, was integral to thwarting Thanos' plans, and then eventually sort of guided Thanos onto a heroic path for a lot of the 90s, and even up to today. Really, he's a morally ambiguous character. In the movies, it looks like he's straight up evil, but in the comics, much more complex character. And I enjoy watching Jim Starlin sort of dissect and deconstruct sort of just the metaphysics and the pursuit of truth and why the universe works the way that it does. It's very interesting. Thanos is less a villain than he is sort of a mad scientist. He is the Mad Titan, and I think that's what he is, a bit of a scientist in the Marvel sense. Sort of everything that Reed Richards isn't. I mean, he has none of the scruples and none of the, I guess, he's willing to do things that Reed Richards wouldn't do, or someone like Reed Richards or Tony Stark. Well, maybe Tony Stark. Tony Stark is also a morally ambiguous character, I think, at times, especially nowadays in the comics with the Superior Iron Man.
Looks like he's turning
into a straight up villain for a little while there. Probably to better reflect what we're probably going to see in Age of Ultron, which is not necessarily a full villainous Tony Stark, but maybe one that's been, he's made some mistakes. His heart's in the right place. He had good intentions, but of course it all goes, much like the Insight program from S.H.I.E.L.D., Ultron results from Tony Stark's attempts to do good, but evil comes about from it. But anyway, getting back to Guardians of the Galaxy 2, was originally slated for May 5th. It was originally slated for July 28th, 2017. Pretty much the same time of year as the first Guardian. So I guess they were thinking, well, you know, we got this one out, made a lot of money. Usually a time of the summer when most of the blockbusters have already come out. I think this was the first time ever where a movie has been released in August and made as much money as it has. So good on them. So that was the plan for Guardians 2, but it looks like they've instead decided to move it up to, and this was the announcement made by James Gunn, was to move it up to May 5th, which, of course, as we all know, is Free Comic Book Day weekend.
Yes.
First weekend of May. So, obviously, that is every year. That's always the biggest movie of the year. Captain America 3, the year before, is going to be also the May weekend. I think, this past year, it was Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, every year around that time, there's a big superhero movie.
Sony's going to be getting that date for a while now because Spidey kind of tanked, and so I think that probably cost Sony the top bid for May. But Marvel is pretty much dominating that weekend because we're going to have Cap, and now we have Guardians of the Galaxy the following year, and of course we'll get into the future years and what's going to be happening in May and other months going forward. Pardon me. Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So that's been changed to July 28th to May 5th. And so that was big news, changing the date from one to the other. But otherwise, no big news there. We knew that a Guardians of the Galaxy was coming. News since the announcement says that it won't be setting up Avengers Infinity War. But I have a feeling that we're going to see at least some plot threads.
There'll be something in there, yeah.
It might not be a straight setup, especially since there are several movies in between. But I imagine we're going to, at some point, see Thanos, who obviously is the big bad for Avengers 3. We definitely know that now. And of course, just more of an exploration of the Guardians of the Galaxy universe, I expect, is what we'll see there. And good, because there's so much that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
Yes, a lot of that universe, a lot of the Marvel Cosmic Universe is tied up in the Fantastic Four franchise and others. You know, so we can't use aliens like the Skrulls. Probably the Shi'ar are probably off limits because that's traditionally an X-Men cosmic alien race. The Brood, another one.
I just read that they are allowed to use the Kree, though.
Of course we have the Kree because...
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy, Ronan.
Yeah.
Bit of a surprise, actually, because Ronan the Accuser's first appearance was in a Fantastic Four comic. Adam Warlock as well, actually, the one right after that. But I guess, despite their first appearances being in Fantastic Four, they have really made their mark in the Marvel Universe and other corners of the Marvel Universe, so... not tied down to being part of the Fantastic Four franchise. Thankfully, because the character is very important. I'm not 100%... I don't know. Ronan in the movie was portrayed a little differently than he was in the comics. He's more of a hero in the comics. In conflict with the heroes of Earth early on in the 60s and 70s when he was first introduced. But more recently, in the last few decades, definitely portrayed more as a hero, at least of the Kree Empire.
Yeah.
Regarded as a hero. But the same with the Super Skrull, who was traditionally always a Fantastic Four villain and portrayed as a villain, has in recent years been portrayed as the hero of the Skrull Empire. It's just a matter of perspective. You know, what's a villain to one species or culture is a hero to another, which
definitely
is universal pretty much. Can be anybody can relate to that, of course. You know, one person's hero is another's villain.
Definitely. Believe it or not, it's time for another break.
All right. So
we'll take a
part
break.
Part two of 2017 when we get back.
We'll be back.
Hold on, true believers. There's more We Got the Geek after these words.
Sketchbook Comics and Games is a store that has something awesome for everyone. In addition to selling comics, board games, and action figures, there are tables for open gaming. Wednesday nights, Sketchbook features game night starting at 6 p.m. Friday through Sunday, Sketchbook is the place to be for Magic the Gathering. The store is located at 224 Glenridge Avenue, Unit 9 in St. Catharines. Come on down for all your geek comic book needs.
All right, welcome back to our rundown of the Marvel movie announcements. I'm here with Daryl, and we barely cracked the surface of this. So
barely scratched the surface, as Baron Strucker would say.
Yeah, so I believe we're going to do this in two parts then. So I have no problem with that.
So for full color coverage, be sure to tune in to the second part.
That's right. But... okay, we announced Guardians of the Galaxy 2 for 2017.
Yeah, we got up to GOTG2 there for May 5th, 2017.
And what else is coming out that year, Daryl?
It's going to be a busy year, actually. This is the first official year announcing three movies.
That's pretty awesome.
And this looks like it's going to be the norm going forward, especially with so many properties in the Marvel pantheon. There's just not enough time to tell all these stories, so you got to start putting out more. Up to now, it's been... one or two per year. In fact, this is how it all started, with two per year. Iron Man and Incredible Hulk came out within months of one another.
Yeah. And then that terrible 2009 of none.
There was the dry year of 2009, exactly. 2010 came back with Iron Man 2, and then we had Thor and Captain America, the 1-2 punch in 2011, which set up Avengers, which being the team-up crossover event of the century that it was pretty much the one thing that that stood tall in 2012. And then from that point onwards, of course, we got into the habit of two movies per year. Iron Man 3 and Thor Dark World just last year, 2013. And, of course, Captain America Winter Soldier and Guardians of the Galaxy this year. Next year, of course, is another Avengers movie. And I guess because now we're getting into the sequel territory, instead of just being a standalone by itself, we've got Ant-Man following up close on its heels. And that... originally billed as the first movie of Phase 3, is now pretty much being regarded as the tail end of Phase 2. lot of questions as to whether or not this is going to be even worth watching, what with Edgar Wright walking away and was it Peyton Reed or I think that's his name?
Yeah.
Coming in and filling the director's chair in the meantime. Like we were saying, unlike before, even as recently as Thor, where they had to replace the director because he dropped out, and then they got the Vikings director. Still can't remember his name off the top of my head. Not that household a name. Not Kenneth Branagh, that's for sure.
No.
But so there have been times when directors have dropped out. There was, of course, production issues with Incredible Hulk, which probably caused the movie to suffer a little bit. I'd heard that, much like American History X, Edward Norton had done a little editing, muddling in the editing room there, a little bit of meddling, as is his way. Probably why he's not part of the Marvel Universe anymore.
Probably why he wasn't asked back.
he wasn't playing the game the way, according to Marvel's rules. But, I don't know how Edward Norton would have fit into something like Avengers. Too much ego encapsulated in one person, I think.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And yet he does great in ensemble movies. I mean, if you've ever seen any Wes Anderson movie that he's been in with a lot of other high-profile actors,
yeah.
You know, I think he does a great job in those. But maybe it's because it's the nature of the type of movie that they are. But yeah, so he's out. And of course, that might have caused Incredible Hulk to suffer a little bit. With Ant-Man and a lot of the last-minute changes that have been going on, this is all Disney money at this point. And regardless of whatever problems happen, I think, as long as you've got Disney, as long as you've got profitable properties like Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy, you can float a couple of bucks to a movie that might be having some production issues, like Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Although, it sounds like things have been going pretty smooth sailing since then. We've seen some production stills come out, the Yellow Jacket armor. Very cool.
Yeah.
We were saying, reminds me of the Iron Spider from Civil War.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, very important as we get further into the announcement and how everything transpired with the announcement. So the Yellow Jacket armor, very cool looking.
Yeah, I want to see a picture of Paul Rudd in the costume.
A full picture of Paul Rudd, yeah, maybe just in full costume with a mask off just so that you can see that he is actually Ant-Man. Evangeline Lilly as the Wasp, like to see what she looks like, you know. The full wings and everything. The Yellow Jacket armor looks like it's got two prehensile, sort of not quite Dr. Octopus arms, but like that.
Yeah.
An extra set of metal arms, and then what looks like two, I'm assuming, where the wings would come out of the back there, so that actually does allow for flight. And I expect we'll probably see the same thing with the Wasp armor, with at least the two little wing things coming out. And probably the same type of helmet for all of them. I noticed that the design of the Yellow Jacket helmet looks very much like the Ant-Man helmet, just darker. You know, got the black helmet instead of the silver helmet. And we'll see how that turns out. So that's the, what was that? That's Ant-Man. But what we're really talking about here is the announcement. And so for 2017, the next movie after Guardians of the Galaxy comes out on May 5th, we've got another Thor movie. This will be Thor 3, Thor Ragnarok.
Yep.
And we noticed that there was no director attached. And, of course, getting back to the fact that the director had dropped out of Thor Dark World and they'd had to replace him at the last minute as well. Maybe that's why they haven't announced a director yet. Maybe they haven't found the Thor director to really carry this picture. It's been kind of plagued with a rotating directors from the very beginning. Branagh, I think, was attached to the second movie at first, but then dropped out for whatever scheduling reasons. So we'll see what happens. The Russo brothers, they immediately attached them to Cap because it was a runaway hit. So they knew they wanted them back. But of course, you know, as we've seen with something like Edgar Wright dropping out at the last minute, anything can happen before the movie comes out.
Yeah.
Joss Whedon, of course, back for Avengers 2. Looks like he's not going to be doing the third Avengers.
That's what I
heard. Handing that one over to the Russos, so they really are becoming the voice and face of the Marvel Universe, in at least for Phase 3, it looks like. Thor Ragnarok. Now, the question is, Ragnarok, what does this mean? Now, it's meant very different things throughout the comic book mythology, to say nothing of Norse mythology in general. As Kevin Feige states in the announcement, it means the end of all things. Getting back to the Civil War aspect, in Civil War there was a character named Ragnarok, which was basically a clone of mm-hmm. Thor.
I remember that.
Very, very interesting storyline. Don't know if I would pursue that
no.
in movies. Clones traditionally do not necessarily go very well over with fans. We all know about Spider-Man and
we
the
do.
Clone Saga and the atrocity that it was. One of the big reasons why I'm not a Spider-Man fan was all the trouble with that story. But, hey, I'm sure Sony is just happy to have all those possible storylines to play with, all those different Spider-Men to play with, too. Spider-Verse is a big thing going on in the comics right now. Explorations of all the different types of Spider-Men, so I'm sure they'll play that to the hilt. But as far as Thor Ragnarok is concerned, coming out on July 28th, again, this is a July movie, which there hasn't been a lot of.
Not really, I think.
Last July movie that Marvel put out would have been, I think it might have been Captain America.
I was thinking that too.
I think it was Thor that came out a little earlier in that year, and then a couple months later was Captain America, and I think that was in July. Thor, I think, was, if not the beginning of May, it might have been April even. I'd have to go back and check those dates. But, yeah, July for a Marvel movie is kind of a new concept. It's not quite the August that Guardians of the Galaxy was, but I guess it's sort of in the same ballpark there, July 28th.
Yeah, just about.
So that's July 28th, 2017. Now, after that, and of course we don't really know what that Thor movie is about, except that Chris Hemsworth and Tom Hiddleston are coming back as Thor and Loki.
And quite the cliffhanger at the end of the Dark World.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm assuming now, of course, there's been some leaks from Idris Elba mentioning that both him and Loki will be in Avengers Age of Ultron. And, of course, during the scene that we see at the end of the announcement, it's mentioned that Thor goes off looking for answers. I'm assuming back to Asgard if these characters are involved, unless it's the flashback scene. And that's also possible. But, yeah, and, of course, you know, I would expect that we'll see all the regular cast that we would normally see in a Thor movie.
Yeah.
Whether or not Natalie Portman will be back as Jane Foster is a good question, though, and Darcy, Kat Dennings. Whether or not Erik Selvig will be back, another good question. Of course, then there's the entire Asgardian cast. You've got Idris Elba as Heimdall, of course, Anthony Hopkins as Odin. Well, we all know what happened to Rene Russo's character at the end of Thor, or in the middle of Thor Dark World. But I'm wondering if maybe even that might be a story thread that might be pursued in Thor 3. I don't think we may have seen the end of her. These are Asgardians. They are not humans. When they die, they may not die in the same way that we do.
Yeah.
Even though Odin has said that they do, just on a longer scale. But who knows? In the Marvel Universe, nobody stays dead for very long.
Definitely.
Coulson is proof of that alone.
Exactly.
And Nick Fury, too. Came back in the same movie, Winter Soldier. But, yeah, I expect we'll see probably the Warriors 3, Sif, and hopefully all sorts of cool Thor villains. I'd heard something about Enchantress maybe being one of the more minor villains, and Executioner.
Executioner, that'd be cool.
they're a Bonnie and Clyde couple in the Thor universe that tend to go together. Searcher is supposed to be the big villain at the end there, though.
Yeah.
And Niflheim there, so that probably ties into the Ragnarok and probably a cataclysmic ending. And that'll probably lead right into the next Avengers movie as well, being one of the big three Avengers characters. But before that, now that's July 28th, 2017. Before that, the last movie for 2017
is... Why don't we wrap up this segment with the last announcement of 2017?
Definitely, yeah. And that's this was a pretty big one. It was very well received during the announcement. It was Black Panther.
Yeah, we've been talking about this one forever as well.
A lot of people have been talking about this. In fact, when I was talking to Dale Ade at the Niagara Falls Convention, he was quite excited about this movie, too. So I think might have gotten some inside Marvel information there, since he was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. last season. And who knows if maybe he'll have a part in it, maybe as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. Who knows what the state of the agency will be at that point.
Now, the guy they've cast as Black Panther, we've never seen him in anything.
Chadwick Boseman.
Okay.
Now, actually, at the end of the announcement, he was actually introduced, and he came on out. And it looks like he's actually going to have an important part of... he's going to have an important role in Captain America 3. More on that later when we get to that part. Yeah. But yeah, he was trotted out so that everybody could get a good look at who the future king of Wakanda, T'Challa, will be. Yeah. And, of course, with Cap's shield being made of vibranium and Wakanda, which is the African kingdom from where Black Panther hails from, that being the place where vibranium is mined. And also of interest is Andy Serkis's character, in who's most probably best remembered as Gollum.
Yeah.
He was actually brought in. At first, it was thought just for motion capture consultation for Mark Ruffalo for Avengers: Age of Ultron, but it looks like he's actually landed himself a part. And based on what people have, I'm not really too familiar with the character of Ulysses Klaue. He was in Secret Wars.
He was, yeah.
He was actually an important part of Secret Wars. But I've never really known too much about the character. I've never really followed Black Panther that closely myself. But I know a little bit about the character.
And we were talking earlier about rights issues. He debuted in the Fantastic Four as well.
Did Black Panther?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
I thought it was Captain America or Tales of Suspense, actually. But yeah, maybe it was Captain America, Fantastic Four. Okay. So there you go. Well, I mean, Fantastic Four was, I mean, they were the first family of Marvel.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of characters, you know, either debuted or had a big part to do with Fantastic Four, even if they didn't necessarily later on. They, you know, like I say, Ronan was introduced in Fantastic Four, but of course he was so synonymous with something like the Kree-Skrull War, which was a very important Avengers story.
Oh yeah,
that I think he's just become synonymous with that Avengers side of things, much like Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. But but yeah, I didn't know about that Black Panther. So he's a Fantastic Four debuter as well. So,
and so is someone else we're going to talk about in the next segment too.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes, definitely, yeah. Yes. Actually, that's an important one too. Yeah. In fact, we'll get to that in just a moment. Now, I think it's fair to say that this is on November 3rd, that 2017, that Black Panther comes out. Again, no director announced, but of course we're talking years in advance, so we'll get that information, of course, as it gets nailed down. The fact that they have a star already, and presumably will be introduced in an earlier movie, theoretically Captain America 3. Means that they're really planning ahead for this. I mean, we'll probably see the same thing for the next movie to come out. Kevin Feige elected to skip over the May 4th, 2018 release date and went directly to the next one. And so you said you wanted to take a break. So for now, anyway, we'll stop off with Black Panther on November 3rd, 2017. Take a break, or do you want to maybe wrap this one up for
We'll wrap this one up. We'll do another episode. That way, more content on the podcast, and it's always awesome talking to you anyhow.
Thank you.
I'm cool with that.
I always have a pleasure, yeah. So up to now, we've got the Marvel announcement up to November 3rd, 2017, and I guess we'll come back, tune in for the second half, and the second half of the announcement coverage.
That's right. All right, thanks, Daryl.
All right, see you soon.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.